May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 727. Oh, that I knew the secret place where I might find my God. I'd spread my wants before his face and pour my woes abroad. Hymn 727.
Together from the most holy word of God, from Paul's epistle to the Hebrews and chapter 9. Paul's epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 9. Then, verily, the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was a candlestick, and the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer, and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had a manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. And over it the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people, the Holy Ghost this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure of for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, that could not make him that did the service perfect, as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats, and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead, otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament, whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood, for when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you." Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once, in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. May the Lord be pleased to bless to us the reading of his most holy word, and grant all needed help now in prayer. O most merciful, ever gracious and almighty Lord God, do solemnize our hearts and minds now, we plead, we might each, yes, whether it is in those silent petitions from the pew, or one as we stand before thee and plead in that audible manner, it might be solemnized. Yes, drawn from the various and varied scenes of life in the past days, those things which, oh, how they, we find and prove, do we not, we're of the earth, earthy. Amid all these things we prove we are much of the earth, earthy. And how can we approach unto one so holy? But all may be found again this Lord's Day morning. Humbled under thy mighty hand. Humbled under thy mighty hand. As a one with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, which thou wilt not despise. Or may we be found amongst those beggars poor, at mercy's door lies such a wretch as I. Oh, how we have to confess we truly are wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. There is much that testifies against us. Ah, but the poor sinner, can he not venture? Can he not venture, pleading for Jesus' sake? Can he not venture pleading that name which is above every name? Or that name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that one that satisfied the law, bore the sin of many, shed his own heart's blood, cried out, it is finished. The grave could not hold thee. One has now ascended on high, that waits to be gracious and at the voice of thy cry will answer thee. Oh, let us therefore. Oh, we have to say we have nothing in our hands we bring. Nothing. But may we come as that exhortation in the epistle which we read. Let us therefore come boldly unto this one that has a feeling for us in all our infirmities. One that was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And so, O Lord, look down upon us each in mercy. Oh, if it could please thee, look down upon us each in mercy, from the youngest here to the oldest. Thou knowest what concerns this one and that one in the way. Thou knowest those that are burdened on account of their sin and come up to thy courts like those Greeks of old, with us, sirs, we would see Jesus. Give me Christ or else I die. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Oh, they know what it is to smite upon the breast and cry, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, Lord, do be pleased and manifest thyself to such, we plead. Oh, reveal thyself to them through the lattice of the gospel. May they be enabled by faith to lay hold upon thee. O Lord, thou knowest perhaps those have been many years in the way, and they prove are now days of darkness and distress are my portion here below. O Lord, we often go in our thoughts those words we read, those that walk in darkness. Those that walk in darkness, that fear the Lord, they walk in darkness and have no light. They've obeyed the voice of his servant. But those days of darkness, trial of faith, temptation. Oh, yes, even the hardness of heart, the turning aside. Oh, left our first love and all we... Find there's a hiding of thy face, do we not? And how we long for those renewings, refreshings, revivings. We long once again to see our precious Christ, have those truths once again revealed to us. A fresh application of thy precious blood. Oh, we know the language of that one that by night sought thee upon the bed. Could not find thee. And oh, how often it is it not? Ah, the path of a child of God. And is it not because of sin? Is it not because, yes, what is seen in us still but sin? We have to confess it. But, O Lord, once again we plead, show unto us thy salvation. Reveal thyself to us in love and mercy. Oh, may we see by faith that precious blood that springs upon the doorpost and lintel of our heart. And so, Lord, we plead, as that verse also goes on, let him trust in the Lord and stay upon his God, and oh, wilt thou not give unto thy people again and again those fresh cries, those fresh cries. Then they cried unto the Lord in their troubles. And so, Lord, do enable one another to cry unto thee in their troubles and trials and those dark things, those times and seasons when thou dost cause this or that to come. Then they cried unto the Lord. Or is it not to bring back to thy feet? Is it not to keep at thy feet? Oh, we have to confess by nature we're proud-hearted, are we not? Proud spirit soon rises up. We don't want to be dependent upon another. Left our first love. Cannot something, we can look back to that time when we knew those times of those espousals. Dandle upon the knees. But oh Lord, how solemn it is then. Days of darkness and distress are our portion here below. But oh, is there not a casting of our eyes upward? Like Jonah of old, I'll look again toward thy holy temple. Is it not like Jonah then, out of the belly of hell, cried I? Lord, remember. Oh, perhaps there's that language upon one's spirit even this morning. Lord, remember me. Grant unto me once again that favour which thou bearest unto thy people. Visit me with thy salvation. And O Lord, as thou dost look upon the heart, thou knowest also those that come even into thy court, their heart is far from thee. Such were some of us. With shame we confess it, but O Lord, are we not conceived in sin and shaped in iniquity, and who can know it? Till the Spirit takes a poor sinner in hand, we're content with forms, we are content with forms. That form which had no power, for we had no need, we saw no beauty in thee that we should desire thee. Lord, if for those such, we plead that thou hast yet open the eyes of the blind. Oh, they've been brought to feel their need. My be it thus far, thou shalt go and no further. When thou dost breathe upon the dry bones, thou dost give that commandment, live. Oh, I brought to tremble under the law. But oh, may it please thee then, awaken the dead. Awaken the dead. May they know what it is to groan being burdened. And blessed be God, those whom thou dost quicken. Thou wilt in time reveal thyself to them, manifest thyself to them in love and in mercy. And so as we plead also for those round about these parts and the little hills of Zion, are there none of thy dead elect? Are there none whom thou hast loved from all eternity, whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Oh, if it could please thee, hasten that time when they shall know what it is to be burdened. Burdened on account of sin, but all to see there is death stamped upon everything here below. Brought to that time when they have an aching void that the world cannot fill. So, Lord, we plead, do hasten that time and cause and awaken many sinners round to come and fill the place. And so we plead, do remember Zion. Zion ministered and brought low. Thy days desecrated, thy courts forsaken, thy word is trodden underfoot. Man does not want thy laws. He's rejected them, has he not? We see it, do we not, in our day? O Lord, as a nation then turn us once again, we shall be turned. Show our leaders what they ought to do. Oh, it seems an impossibility, but we have to come like this, and it stirs up in our heart. Is anything too hard for the Lord? We verily believe there is nothing too hard for thee, and if it could be thy will. Do strengthen those things in the churches, strengthen those things which remain, those things which are ready to die. And if it could please, it might be yet an awakening in our day, a turning once again unto thee. And so do we please to turn us once again, and we shall be turned. Do have mercy upon our rulers, show them what they ought to do. Give them wisdom in the affairs of state. Overturn the evil designs of our enemies. Oh, enable us to say in all these things, thy will be done. Make us submissive to thy will. No, Lord, as thou hast favoured us then to gather in thy courts, we thank thee for that opportunity. But Lord, remember those that through age and infirmity are unable to gather in thy courts. Go to them where they are. And those that are laid aside upon beds of sickness, Lord, make their places and their abodes of Bethel to them this day. Draw near and comfort them. Bless all the means used for their good. Oh, bless all the means used. Do remember the sick. We would not forget them. And we think of one another throughout the hills of Zion. Some young in years, some in the middle of life, and some in the even time of life. Lord, do yet put forth thy healing hand if it could please thee. Put forth thy healing hand. And may it please that there might be that perfect healing. And I find there is that in these things, those of thy wise and perfect dealings with them. Might be that which comes forth from it that is sweet to the soul's taste. Might be that which comes forth from it, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end. Approving that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to those that are called according to eternal purpose. So, Lord, do sanctify the path and sweeten all the pain. No, Lord, we would not omit to plead for the young and the rising race. Oh, we see a goodly number before us, those going on into life and those very young ones, Lord, dark and evil day in which our lot is cast, their lot is cast. Oh, hedge them about, O Lord. Keep them tender of heart and mind and conscience. Keep them close to thee. Enable them to commit all their ways unto thee. Enable us to seek first the kingdom of God and thy righteousness, and prove that all these other things shall be added unto you. So we plead, for them. Remember the parents, give them wisdom in our day as they seek to bring up their children and nurture and admonition of the Lord. Grant them wisdom in those difficult questions that shall arise. We live in a day when evil is called good and good is called evil. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth unto all men liberally, and upbraideth not. But, O Lord, help us now. Thou hast favoured us to gather in thy courts. Thou hast not dealt with us as our sins deserve. We're still upon praying ground. The door of mercy still stands open. The day of grace has not ended. O Lord, do feed us each with food convenient for our souls. O Lord, thou knowest those that long to lay hold upon thee. O may it please, it might be this day thou wilt reveal thyself. Might be those prisoners set free, brought into the liberty of the gospel. They may yet be able to tell out to sinners round what a dear Saviour they have found, and point to thy redeeming blood, and say, behold, the way to God. So do help us now, we plead. Bless us each together. Break the bread of life unto us. Oh, may there be a crumb that may fall from the Master's table. May there be a sip from the well of salvation. We plead all these things, then, pleading for the pardon of every sin and all we asked amiss. And where we failed in our asking, do be pleased to make up in giving. We plead for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 44. Here, Lord, my soul convicted stands of breaking all thy ten commands, and on me justly mightst thou pour thy wrath in one eternal shower. Hymn number 44.
Thank you.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, we turn to the chapter we read in Paul's epistle to the Hebrews and read the clause in the middle of verse 7, not without blood. Hebrews chapter 9, the middle clause of verse 7, not without blood. These words have been upon my mind throughout the past week. Not without blood, again and again. Heard within, not without blood. The verse raises it not concerning the high priest of old, but into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. And so it was in that old dispensation. Sacrifice and offering was offered many, many times, was it not? And then once every year. And it was a high priest alone, that one that signified in that way Christ yet to come, went in to the holiest. And he could not enter into there without the blood of the sacrifice. And we read it was for his sins and the sins of the people, but not without blood. Well, when we consider what we are by nature, sinners of the deepest dye, perhaps some may say, well, I can't say that. Perhaps some have a measure of self-righteousness and pride and such for some of us. But oh, when the Holy Spirit reveals himself to a poor sinner, it's that unerring light that shines within. And then that poor trembling one will know what it is to come in with the apostle of old, of sinners of whom I am chief. But oh, when that poor sinner is first convinced of his sin, brought into that condemnation under the law, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Oh, may the Lord by the Spirit quicken each one. Quicken each one that gathers here, and quicken even those round about whom he will quicken. Breathe upon the dry bones. Put that breath of life within. May know what it is to come in again and again to the courts of the Lord. Sirs, we would see Jesus. Give me Christ or else I die. Sometimes we look back with shame to the time when we came to the house of God. We looked at nothing else but the clock. Wanted for that time to come when the amen was said and the conclusion of the benediction. It's just words that came into the ear, as it were, had no effect. They're words in the end that fell to the ground. Well, in our case at the time it was, but no doubt, and blessed be God, that word which he commands and gives his Lord's servants to speak, it shall not return unto him void, but it shall accomplish that whereto he has sent it. The For there was a time when I had no need of Christ, content with forms and dead realms. But all that trembling when convicted of sin, or the hymn we had just now, did it not speak of that? Perhaps that touches one poor trembling one's case this morning, the hymn, "Hear, Lord, my soul convicted stands of breaking all thy ten commands. And on me justly mightst thou pour thy wrath in one eternal shower. But convicted, breaking, yes, you may say, well, I haven't broken every command, but all the word declares is not if we're guilty of one part of the law and falling short, and that we're guilty of the whole law. Guilty of the whole law. And that one brought where he feels he's guilty of the whole law. Eternity then becomes a tremendous sound to that guilty sinner. For he sees there that, should he come to the end of his days as that guilty sinner, as he is, and feeling himself to be lost, what is his portion? Yes, he has to acknowledge it will be just and righteous under that law that he should, that punishment, the place where the worm dieth not and the flame is not quenched. But that poor trembling one, convinced of his sin, what a mercy, yes, what a mercy indeed if you're brought, and you will be brought, to begin to see in Christ such a beauty, such a need, such one that is needful. I without him perish must. You begin to see and hear those things that are made known to you through the lattice of the gospel, breaking that bread of life unto you. Begin to see there is that one that is all and becomes all your desire. All your desire. The hymn, does it not speak of that? Yes, and such were some of us. We tried to patch up our own fig leaf, as it were, of righteousness. The one found guilty and convicted under the law, he thinks he can make things better himself in measure. He thinks he can put his own hand to it. Early this morning I turned to that whereby we read concerning Adam and Eve. When their eyes were open because they ate of that fruit of that tree of knowledge of good and evil, and their eyes were opened, they saw they were naked. And how they there, they covered themselves with fig leaves. What an imperfect covering it was. But blessed be God, we read, they were not left. They were not left like that. Perhaps there's one, perhaps there are those here that are, yes, they're patching up their own fig leaves, that which is of their own righteousness. Blessed be God. Does it not speak? Does it not hint of that sacrifice that was yet to come? And unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord make coats of skins and clothe them. What a mercy if you should be brought to see, you have need of that robe of Christ's righteousness. Not your fig leaves. Oh, how solemn if you should come to the end of your days with those fig leaves. Every spot and every blemish and every shadow of a spot will be seen. But the Lord God made coats of skins. Must be that shedding of blood concerning those the animals and that to make that provision of skins. We read, the Lord God clothed them. The Lord God clothed them. I may have said it before, but it comes to my mind again. It was some while ago now when this poor trembling said, yes, the Lord's servants often know what it is to tremble because of sin. Don't look upon the Lord's servants as if they're above anybody else. We're not. Even the prophet Isaiah said, I'm a man of unclean lips. In fact, he couldn't speak. Couldn't speak in the Lord's name in and of himself. He was a man of unclean lips. But even for the prophet Isaiah there, was that which the angel took that live coal from off the altar and touched upon his lips. It is not of man. Not of man. Lest any man should boast. And so it was not, in Adam or in Eve, but Almighty God clothed them. A provision was made for them. As I say, this poor trembling sinner. Those months ago now, but I can remember it so, when burdened on account of sin, it's a burden, is it not? It's a burden that's greater than any burden. You may have burdens for time. But the burden of sin. As it was laid heavily upon my shoulders and upon my spirit that day, the Lord spake these words. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Poor sinner, there's no salvation to be found in any other, but only through what Almighty God purposed, through God the Son. I mean, it was so in the fullness of time. It was manifest. Yes, the Old Testament and that which was old. There was much of types and shadows and prophecies. We live in gospel days. We have the whole Word of God. Nothing can be added to it, nor nothing taken from it, but it's in its fullness. And it speaks of Christ. Christ manifest. Christ manifest to poor sinners in that which he hath accomplished. Yes, Abraham saw it many years beforehand, did he not? Saw it by faith. And it was accounted unto him for righteousness. But the precious blood of Christ, that one raised up from all eternity, that one who knew no sin, that one that was to become your high priest and mine if we are found amongst the Lord's people after the order of Melchizedek, that unchangeable priesthood, Or is it there I see my fig leaf righteousness? Can ne'er thy broken laws redress? Yet in the gospel plan I see there's hope of pardon e'en for me. Hope of pardon e'en for me. Ah, my mind also went to that hymn of Berridge's. "745, have you found amongst those cause a simple, blind and lame to come and be his guest? That's those that have a need. That's not those that have a ripe righteousness of their own, but those that are brought to feel their need, that tremble, as we said, under the law. And what is pronounced there, the soul that sinneth it shall die. And so he calls, and they're brought to feel it, sir. They're amongst the simple, the blind and the lame. Ah, blessed be God. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Came to seek and to save that which is lost. Not the righteous, but sinners. Ah, when we read concerning Christ, as we say, we live in gospel days, and we have those accounts in the gospels concerning Christ and his pathway here below. Blessed be God. What do we read? He ate with publicans and sinners. Oh, does that suit you then, poor sinner? He ate with publicans and sinners. Break the bread of life unto them. Manifest himself to them. Dear Zacchaeus of old, there was outwrought in him, was it not? He was a sinner, yes, you read concerning him. But there was outwrought in his heart. That change wrought. Yes, and Eve, that one, in that way, we read of him, small as stature. And such is how you may feel in your own soul, but ah, yes, I'm such a wretched, wretched sinner. Can there ever be mercy for me? You certainly feel in that low place. Ah, no sense. Yes, pride in man lifts him up, does it not? A proud spirit, man is lifted up. He may be small of stature, but in his proudness, he's lifted up. But all that one that feels he's small of stature. He's humbled under the mighty hand of God. Ah, Zacchaeus then, that burden of his sin. Then had an urgent pressing case, did he not? Oh yes, and when you find also like Zacchaeus, no doubt like that woman, there was a crowd about him. Ah, dear woman, there was a crowd about him, but there, such was the need, the necessity, the desire. Pressing through the crowds. Ah, they press through those crowds. They're by faith enabled so to do. That's the Spirit working within them. So they feel themselves to be nothing. They feel they have to acknowledge how unworthy they are. That woman, she came behind him. But if I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. If I may, or is that your language, if I may? If I may, that hymn of Berridge's, does it not go on like this? He calls the simple blind and lame to come and be his guest. Sub simple folk the world despise, yet simple folk have sharpest eyes and learn to walk the best. And the next verse goes on, they view the want of Jesus' light. Yes, they view it. Does it not speak of their desire? For they have a need. Of your desire, then, poor sinner. Yes, perhaps you haven't laid hold. You long to lay hold, but you view. What a mercy if you're brought to view. I believe that, and I verily believe it of a truth, it shall be so. There'll be that time, there'll be that laying hold. Another word come to mind in the early hours of the morning. This while I'm inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. You turn to that portion in Ezekiel, is it not there? So I turned to it early this morning and I've been inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. Well, it speaks of it in the earlier part of the chapter concerning that work of grace. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I'll take away the stony heart out of your flesh, I'll give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. And so the word goes on. I will also save you from all your uncleannesses. Oh, does that suit you, poor trembling sinner? You have to say, oh yes, I'm unclean. I am that mass of wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. These are those that are brought to view. They view the want of Jesus' light, of Jesus' blood, and Jesus' might which others cannot view. Those dead, unconcerned, they have no view, for they have no need. And therefore, if they have no need, they have no desire. But those whom he hath given that new heart, taken out that heart of stone, given that heart of flesh, the word declares, I will save you from all your uncleannesses. And I will call for the corn and will increase it, lay no famine upon you. And so the word goes on. That day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities. You turn to that chapter, poor sinner. Chapter 37 in Ezekiel's prophecy. And so, as it draws toward the close of that chapter, thus saith the Lord God. This is not the word of man. Yes, man may be pronouncing as one stands up in the Lord's name, but may it come as a word of the Lord by the Spirit. Thus saith the Lord God. It's not free will, but oh, may it be the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. Ah, yes, and like Adam and Eve of old, the Lord God Almighty clothed them, took off them that fig leaf covering, that imperfect covering, is able to clothe that poor sinner with that robe which Christ, the Eternal Son, wrought for them. That spotless, seamless robe, clothed upon. Ah, poor trembling sinner. Yes, those crowds about him, those many hindrances in the way, and no doubt you're proving this, do you not? Satan himself at your right hand to resist you. Oh, you're proving it, sir. On the one hand, there is Satan taunting you, tempting you, that you've sinned beyond that work of grace. But the hymn writer put it in this way, is it not true? The foulest sinner out of hell, that lives to feel his need, as he said, lives. And one brought to feel their want, brought to feel their need, quickened by the Spirit, those that live to feel their need, welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. Ah, the Saviour's blood. And so as we read this morning, as I say, those words have been on my mind. They've been on my mind all the week, really. Not without blood. Not without blood. That was that signifying of that which was to come. That which was of that old covenant. But Christ, the mediator of that new covenant. That covenant as we read of it. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. And so as the that one. Yes, that one small of stature. You feel to be that one like the one of old, small of stature. Nothing could prevent that work of grace. Like that dear woman. And so Zacchaeus and that dear woman. Ah, yes, many hindrances. And the adversary, all that greatest of hindrances. But by the blessed Spirit, that well of water springing up within unto everlasting life, that one we led along, led graciously along, amidst all the hindrances, amidst all the doubtings, amidst all the fearful forebodings. And so that dear woman, she pressed through and she touched. And Zacchaeus of old, he climbed that tree, did he not? To see who this man was, he'd heard much of him. That was his desire. He viewed the want of Jesus' light, of Jesus' blood, and Jesus' might, which others cannot view. Climb that tree. Oh, and it was that time appointed, was it not? As the Lord drew near, his eye was upon him. He'd seen him, he knew he was there. The commandment was to come down. know thee, that which eventually this day salvation come to thy house. This day. This day. And blessed be God, it was so. This day. Oh, do you long for that to be spoken into your soul this day? Salvation come to thy house, and like the dying thief, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. Oh, there was that answer of peace to him there. He saw the want. He saw such a beauty in Christ. What a difference was between the two. The change wrought, the heart renewed, and the feet turned towards Zion's hill. This day. My mind goes back to the word, but the time hastens on. And as I'm dear, if the Lord will, at Haynes this afternoon, feel that burden upon me. But oh, does this work as it came into my, it was my the burden of my soul. When brought to view my want of Christ. Those years ago now, comes to my mind sweetly, it comes to my mind, but all these were the words. I long for this to be made known to me, whereby it could be said, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed. I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. How long I had to wait, truly I did. But that time appointed came. Blessed be God, that time appointed came. So those many pleas that this poor sinner offered up under that fell need, that want, like the lines I've often quoted, but all maybe an encouragement to one. Spirit of truth, come down, reveal to me the things of God, make to me salvation known. Witness with the blood. Oh, that blood, like we read, that time of the Passover, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And oh, in that personal way, then the Lord brings his people into that desire. They long for it personally. Speak the word. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Say those words at the beginning of chapter 43 in Isaiah's prophecy. Oh, how I longed for that in my soul. That time came when it was manifest, spoken into my soul. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. I view the want of Jesus' light, of Jesus' blood and Jesus' might, which others cannot view. They walk in Christ. Yes, as that walk in the tender fear of the Lord, as that change wrought, it's manifest indeed. Ah, if there's no change wrought in the pathway, cannot be a work of grace. I believe that work of grace will be a change wrought and it will be manifest. Ah, you read concerning Zacchaeus. Tender heart. A tender heart had been given him. He longed to restore and make good that which he had done wrong to others. It's a
walk in the fear of the Lord. But oh, how they long for divine reality. They long for that application of the precious blood of Christ. They walk in Christ, the living way, and fight and win the well-fought day which others cannot do. A day shall come when they shall obtain. They all declare, I nothing am. My life is bound up in the Lamb. My wit and might are his. My worth is all in Jesus found. He is my rock, my anchor ground, and all my hope of bliss. The hymn closes, is it not? Such simple soul I fain would be. The scorn of man, the joy of thee, thy parlour guest and friend. Do make me, Lord, a little child, right simple-hearted, meek and mild, and loving to the end. Oh, the tender fear of the Lord. Change wrought. Ah, so there is that new heart. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. I will also save you from all your uncleannesses. And I will call for the corn and will increase it, and lay no famine upon you. All that time, the time of love will come. When thou shalt clearly say, not only that he shed his blood, but each shall say for me. There's none. There's none in the word of God, and I believe none that have been wrought upon by the Spirit. Ever made shipwreck of faith, thou brought home to glory at last, but there'll be that desire. Give me Christ, or else I die. Say unto my soul, I'm thy salvation. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day were £715, for which we're very thankful. God willing, Mr. Burgess will administer the Lord's Supper after this evening's service. There will be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Adrian Pickett. Mr. Pack is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and God willing, next Lord's Day Mr. Decker will preach, and in the afternoon take the Sunday school and give out the prizes. Let us close with hymn 535. Oh, the love of Christ to sinners, who can make its wonders known? Sin-born slaves, through grace, are winners of a bright celestial crown. Jesus gives us endless glory and renown. Hymn 535.
Thank you.
dear Lord. Thou knowest where some poor trembling sinner may stand before thee this day. Ah, may it please thee, reveal thyself to them as that perfect covering, that hope, and that precious blood, may they have the application of it and feel the efficacy of it. Without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sin, but all that precious blood. Ah, thine own heart's blood, cleanser from all sin and all iniquity. O Lord, do bless that which is of thee. Cover the mantle of thy forgiving love over all thou hast heard and seen amiss. Do grant help to this poor sinner in the afternoon hour, but also come up with us again in the evening. Lord, the work is thine, the power is thine, we're dependent upon thee. We plead now then, remember us each. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.